What? What, that we wouldn't do it like that?
So I'm splitting my talk into two talks. In the middle, there'll be a song. You'll see why. But I'm going to begin the way I began last night at Friday Night Live with an old Jewish joke, and the reason that I'm doing it is it went over well last night. So this joke is now market tested. And I'm going to give two different talks about love. So here's the joke. A wagon driver was driving the rabbi to town. A wagon driver, there are lots of stories about wagon drivers, balagulas, in Eastern Europe. The wagon driver is driving the rabbi to town, and he says to the rabbi, "You know, I really envy you. You're going to get off the wagon, everybody's going to go, oh, the rabbi, and they're going to pay you court, and they're not going to pay any attention to me. And they're going to give you honor, and they're going to give you praise, and I'll sit in the back." And the rabbi says, "You know what? You're right. Let's switch. I'll sit in the front. I'll be the wagon driver. You'll sit in the back. You'll be the rabbi. When we get there, I don't know anyone in this town. No one will know the difference." So they switch. The wagon driver sits in the back, the rabbi's in the front, they get to the town, and sure enough, when they get off, everybody assumes the wagon driver's the rabbi, and they pay court to him, and they give him food, and they praise him. Nobody pays any attention to the rabbi. Until finally, someone comes up to the wagon driver and says, "Listen, rabbi, I have to ask you a question." And he asks him a very complicated Talmudic question. The wagon driver stares for a minute, frozen, and then he says, "You call that a question? You think that that's a question worthy of me? Why, my wagon driver could answer that question." I bring this up because, yeah, I'm the one talking about love here, but any of us could do the same because we all know equally much and equally little about it. But today I'm the wagon driver. So here goes love part one. When we say love, we almost always assume romantic love. But the truth is that most of our experience of love in our lives has to do with all these other people that we love. And so I want to start with them, with parents and children and brothers and sisters and cousins and friends. The Talmud took friendship very seriously. Chevruta o mituta, the Talmud says. Friendship or death. You need friends in this world, and you love them. And even though the loves are of a different kind, each one grows your heart, and the more you love, and the more people you love, and the wider your circle, the more beautiful the filaments of your life that run out into the world. I want to concentrate, as we lead into a very beautiful song, on the love of parents and children, and in particular, even though the song is about a mother, I have a story about a father. It's a story that my father told me years and years ago, and I don't know where it comes from, but I don't really care. I'll just tell you the story. A father and his son were walking along, and the son was a young boy, 10, 11 years old. And they came upon a big rock. And the son looked at the rock and he said to his father, "Do you think I can move that rock?" And his father said to him, "If you use all of your strength, you can move it." So the son goes over to the rock and he pushes and he pushes and he digs in his heels and he pushes some more and it doesn't budge an inch. And he goes back to his father and he says, "You were wrong." And his father said, "No, I wasn't." He said, yes, you were. I tried as hard as I could. And his father said, I told you to use all your strength. And the son said, well, I did. And the father answered, no, you didn't. You didn't ask me to help you. Part of the strength of a child is the strength of the mother, the power of the father, the love that they bear. And when we talk of love, is there a more beautiful, deep, enriching, important love than the love of a mother? Yiddish Mama.
Of things I should be thankful for, I've had a goodly share. And as I sit here in the comfort of a cozy chair, my fancy takes me to a lonely tenement, three flights up in the rear, to where my childhood days were spent. It wasn't much like paradise, but myth of dirt and all that sat the sweetest angel, one that I finally caught, my Yiddish Mama. I need her more now. Yiddish Mama, I'd love to kiss her wrinkled brow. I long to hold her once more as in days gone by. And I would ask her to forgive me for things I did that made her cry. A few her pleasures, she never cared for fashion stars. Her jewels and her treasures, she found them in her baby smiles. And I know to that dear little lady, so old and gray, to that wonderful Yiddish Mama,
there is romantic love. Romantic love is the love that seems for a while to erase all reality and distinctions. Romantic love is the love that colors all the world. Romantic love is the kind of love that the Talmud speaks about when it says, when we were in love, we could make our bed together on the edge of a sword. When it seems like there is no separation between people. But of course, it is also true that romantic love exists in this world. and that Borges was right when he said falling in love is creating a religion with a fallible God. Because you discover, even in the most starry-eyed romantic love, that the person whom you love is actually a person. And therefore, has all the faults, all the hesitancies, all the shortcomings of a human being. And we don't always remember this because the curtain closes with the kiss. And we forget that 10 years later, after the kiss, the couple is arguing about whether to sleep with the window open or the window closed, or whether he squeezes the toothpaste from the middle or from the end, or whether he chews with his mouth open. But the beauty of it is that undercurrents of love, of romantic love, animate not only our reality but also our dreams. It's what we think about, not just because we are fed these images over and over again, but because it's the reality of the world. That hearts yearn. They always have and they always will. And that is as true in the stories of our tradition as it is anywhere else. There is something beautiful in the fact that after many, many, many years together, Abraham turns to Sarah and suddenly says for the first time, "Now I know how beautiful you are." There is beauty in the stories, not only of patriarchs and matriarchs, but the stories of the rabbis, of Rabbi Akiva, whose wife waited for him while he went off to study because she knew that the person that she had married could be better, could be deeper, could know more and love more. Ahavat Olam, we say of God. And Olam in the Jewish tradition doesn't only mean the world, although it means that, it also means eternity. In other words, God's love is endless in time and in space. And it is our task in this world to emulate God, to love as deeply, as long, as fully as we can. And as the song that we sang just a moment ago said, "Od lo ahavtidai," I have not loved enough. And even though it speaks about that I haven't loved the wind and the sun and the beauty of the world, it is also certainly true that we have not loved enough one another. Sometimes not loved enough ourselves. But we're still here. Ve'im lo achshav ematai, as Hillel asked thousands of years ago, if not now, when? So I wish you a Shabbat, a month, and a year filled with love.